Hello, this is Kathy Hart, host of the Health First Radio Show. Today we have some really interesting guests on. In the first half, we have Kathy DeBussy from the Canadian Acupressure College. And in the second half, we have Carrie Carlton with the Science of Addiction. But first, here's Alan with the Health First News.
Do you feel like you know why you're here? The answer to that question could determine how you feel day to day. If you've found meaning in your life, you're more likely to be both physically and mentally healthy, a new study reports. On the other hand, people restlessly searching for meaning in their life are more likely to have worse mental well-being, with their struggle to find purpose negatively affecting their mood, social relationships, psychological health, and ability to think and reason. This conclusion comes from a 3-year study of more than 1,000 people aged 21 and older living in San Diego County, California. The new study was published online December 10th in the Journal of Clinical Psychiatry. The daily use of low-dose aspirin against heart disease may have taken another knock. New research suggests that the practice may not provide black Americans with any lowering of their heart attack risk. Researchers analyzed 11 years of data from more than 65,000 people, ages 40 to 79, living in the American Southeast. More than two-thirds of the participants were black, and about two-thirds were at high risk for heart attack or stroke at the start of the study period. Taking low-dose aspirin was associated with a reduced risk of a fatal heart attack in whites, particularly in white women, but it did not appear to lower the risk among blacks, even among those with the highest risk of heart disease, the research found. The findings were published December 11th in the Journal of the American Heart Association. Would you change your grocery list if a food label said, "Walk an hour to burn off the calories in this product"? That's the idea behind a new push to include food labeling that describes the amount of exercise needed to burn off calories consumed, the researchers behind a new study said. For example, such labeling would show that a person would need to walk 42 minutes or run 22 minutes to burn off the 229 calories in a small bar of milk chocolate, said British researchers. Analyzing data from 14 studies, the researchers found that people made healthier choices and ate less when confronted with exercise equivalents. The results were published online December 10th in the Journal of Epidemiology and Community Health. If you're the kind of person who sleeps 9 or more hours a night or takes long afternoon naps, you may want to worry about your stroke risk, a new Chinese study suggests. According to the research, people who sleep and nap too long may increase their risk of stroke by 85%. Regular 90-minute midday naps can raise the risk 25%, compared with not napping or napping for only 30 minutes. Researcher Dr. Xiaomin Zhang cautioned that these findings don't prove long napping and sleeping cause stroke, only that there is an association. She is a professor in the Department of Occupational and Environmental Health at Zhuanghong University of Science and Technology in Wuhan, China. The report was published online December 11th in the journal Neurology.
We have Kathy DeBussy with us today. She's the director of the Canadian Acupressure College in Nanaimo, and she's practiced and taught Asian body work since 1986. She's also a certified shiatsu therapist, a Jin Shin Do acupressure teacher, and a neuro-linguistic programming practitioner. That's a lot to have on your business card. Are you there, Kathy?
Yes, hello. Thank you for having me, Kathy.
Oh, it's so good to have you on the show today. Can you tell us a little bit about your college? How long have you been in practice with it?
The college was started in 1994. I co-founded it, and we had started the college based on the fact that there seemed to be a very big demand from people all across Canada, actually, for training in acupressure. So we were then registered with the Ministry of Advanced Education as a career college, and also with the Natural Health Practitioners Association of Canada. So from that time, we have evolved the program from at the very beginning. It was that people actually moved out to Victoria. That was where we originated. And they had 8 months on campus. And now, with the advent of technology, thank heavens, mm-hmm. We've been able to now have it so that students then fly out for classroom training for about 2 weeks. And the rest is all done online and through manuals and consultations by phone and email.
Wow. Do you have like live classes that people do through the computer, or is it mostly just book work?
It's mainly book work. We are working, though, towards doing the live classes, and because that is, of course, such a popular component, too. So we are looking at that within the next year or two to be able to do some of that more for just being able to let the general public get an idea of how useful acupressure can be in their day-to-day life. And so, of course, we would do some of that, too, for our training. But the model that we have now, we find works really, really well for doing the training.
Can you tell us a little bit about how the Asian perspective and acupressure are different than regular medicine thought processes?
Mainly the focus is that when you're working in Asian medicine, you are looking at the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual. So when one part gets released, so say, for instance, a client comes in and they have a pain in their wrist. Like, let's say that they've got tendonitis. And we go in and we do the acupressure points around the meridian associated with the tendonitis. At the same time that the physical relief will be happening for them, will also be an emotional component that may come out. They may find out that they were tense at the time that the tendonitis started. Or maybe there's something in their life that's going on. Maybe they're having difficulty with a partner. And also the spiritual aspect. And so clients come away with a total picture. And that is probably a little bit different maybe than regular medicine. But in the end, I think it's still the same results that do come out in a different sort of way.
Mm-hmm. And so it's a lot, the Asian body work is along the same lines as traditional Chinese medicine then?
Absolutely, yes. We all come from the same background. We all come from the medical text called the Ni Ching, and that was written around 2600 BC, and that's the basis of all of Chinese medicine.
Hmm. What would be the difference between your acupressure and acupuncture? Do you get the same benefits from them, or...?
Pretty well the same benefits that you would receive with acupuncture. The main difference is that, of course, that you're using needles with the acupuncture versus its fingers and thumbs that you're using with the acupressure. And so, of course, there are some people that that really don't feel very comfortable with needles, regardless of what type of needles they are.
Right.
You know, that just comes from how we sort of view medicine as a whole lots of times. And so that intervention, people are concerned that it's painful. But generally, it's not really that painful. But that is, that's kind of the biggest difference. The other thing is that people do not have to disrobe in acupressure. We are working through the clothing all the time. So that can sometimes be a factor for people. And also the other thing is that with using fingers and thumbs and the fact that the client stays on in one position the whole time, which is on their back on a massage table, it allows them to go a little bit deeper sometimes in relaxation than they might with acupuncture. But the effects will be very similar. Clients from both modalities will still feel energy running almost like it feels like rivers maybe running through their body at the time that the work is taking place.
Hmm. Kathy, did you say you'd work just from one side, so lying on the back, or lying on the tummy and just working the back?
Yeah, so a client lies on their back the whole time, and so the practitioner then is reaching under the body to hold the back points.
Oh, okay.
And and the weight of the client's body on the fingers is also helpful in creating some of that pressure, because as you can well imagine, the points on the back are pretty guarded and pretty tense.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the client's lying on their back like that and the practitioner reaches under, then they can put one hand under the body and then another hand can go what we call distally, or using a working point. So that could be a point that's down the leg perhaps, or it could be a point that's up on the front of the torso. So we're always doing a two-handed method, and we're mainly looking for the point or area that the client comes in with their complaint about, and we call that the local point, and that'll be an area that we will stay on for an extended period of time. And then we will use another hand, and that hand now will be using points that we know will trigger off specific functions to help release that particular point.
Are the points the same in acupressure and acupuncture?
Yes, they are.
Oh, okay. And now you've got so many other modalities going. Is that with your on the side, or is that with the acupressure college as well as teaching shiatsu, jin shin do? Can you explain some of those?
All right. Actually, all of those modalities now I have converged, I suppose one might say, into the program now that we are teaching at the college, which is what we're calling the Five Elements Acupressure Program. And so that program has components of all of those modalities that I am trained in. So, for instance, now we're talking about shiatsu. Shiatsu then is also an acupressure technique. It's done more on a futon on the floor. It originated out of Japan, and it's a more active. And what we mean by that is that the practitioner will be moving perhaps limbs around to administer different stretches, holding some of the points. The client will move from their side to their back to their front while the work is being done. So that's shiatsu. Again, still using the same points as acupuncture and acupressure. And then the jinshin-do. The jinshin-do now, of course, comes out of Japan also, and that originated from a gentleman called Jiro Murai in the early 1900s. And he passed that on to Mary Burmeister, and Mary Burmeister then brought it over to the United States and started teaching that in about the 1960s. And so what Jinshin Do is a combination then of the Chinese medicine, for sure, the Japanese techniques, which is the using the fingers and the thumbs, and the Taoist philosophy. And the Taoist philosophy that comes in is that every individual is very unique on their path and their journey. And so every acupressure session that we do with a client is different for each person based on their symptoms that they bring in. And then the fourth component of that is the Western psychotherapy. And that's where I bring in my neuro-linguistic programming, which is some of assisting people then to bring out some of the emotional components that might be happening for them. And it's a way of communicating in such a mannerism that helps people to bring that emotion forth and speak to it, and then see how it might relate to the acupressure point or pain that they have.
So many tools, Kathy. We're going to have to go to a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk more about your college.